So our reading is from Psalm 124. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side, when people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive. When their anger flared against us, the flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord, who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word in the Bible, and thank you that we have this chance to unpack it together. And Lord, we pray that you'd speak into our hearts tonight. Amen. Well, how do we know if someone is on our side? It's an interesting question, isn't it? How do we know if someone is on our side? Now, there's lots of different contexts you could think about with this, and maybe one is sport. And if it's football, maybe you know they're on our side if they're aiming the ball at the same goal as you. You would hope. Or you could think about debating or arguing. If someone's on your side, then perhaps they back up your points, they make the same points, they support you in the argument. But what about in friendship? If someone is on your side, how do they show that? Maybe it's by supporting you. They're the champion. They rejoice when things go well for you. They want the best for you. And these are all positive ways of thinking about how someone could be on our side, but we could flip them all and word them negatively. And we could say, how do you know if someone's not on your side? Well, they aim at the other goal. They argue against you. They make points against your point. They laugh when you fail. And that's what the psalmist has done in this psalm. There's a whole load of statements that do this question to see, is God on their side? And so they say, well, if he wasn't on our side, then people would have attacked them and swallowed them alive, and the raging torrents would have swept them away. And it's this really graphic imagery of obliteration, really. It's talking about how they just simply wouldn't exist if God wasn't on their side. But because this is one of the Psalms of Ascent that we've been looking at over this sermon series, we know that God's people are singing this psalm on the way to the temple in Jerusalem to worship God. So we know they do exist. We know that they have survived. So we know that God is on their side. And what I find interesting about this psalm is it doesn't say God is on my side. They say God is on our side. And I wonder if they're remembering this collective story of how God has rescued them in all sorts of ways. We may be going back to when he parted the Red Sea so the torrents of water didn't sweep them away, or all of the times they've been oppressed and God had rescued them. So God did act to preserve his people, and he still does today. Have any of you heard of Great Lakes Outreach? No, so this is a wonderful organisation. They work in Burundi, and their whole purpose is to go in there and bring hope and transformation, change, and bring the gospel too. And a friend of mine, she works for them, and she went out one time to Burundi. And when she came back, she said something which has really struck me, that life over there is cheap. It's such a dangerous place to be that death always feels like it's close by, whether that's from the political tensions or disease or just the way of life. So life is very raw. And I think the words of this psalm really speak to them, because when they make it home, they literally have been rescued by God. And one of the founder of Great Lakes Outreach, he's called Simon Gilbo. Fantastic speaker, so I'd recommend you Google him because he's done so many good podcasts. But there was one time when he was being attacked by military guards, and he really thought that they were going to attack him, but for some reason, they just didn't. And he's full of all of these stories of how God has just stepped in and rescued him. And I think it's just wonderful seeing how faithful God is and how powerful he is. And we just get this sense that God is bringing about his purposes through people, whether that's in Burundi bringing good to the area, whether it's how he worked his way through the Old Testament, getting his people to where they were. But there's a big trap that we might fall into with this psalm, and we need to be really careful about this. It's wonderful when we can rejoice how God has rescued us. And I'm sure many of us have got personal stories of where things have been incredibly difficult, but God has done something and we've survived, we've got through. But what happens when tragedy hits? What happens when things don't go well? We've just prayed about the floods and the typhoons that have been happening in America, in Japan, the floods in Pakistan. How would people who have just experienced that understand Psalm 124? How would they feel reading that? Or how would the people in the Ukraine feel, having just seen their friends and family attacked? If God shows he's on our side by delivering people from perils, what does that mean when tragedy hits? And I think when these things happen, we have questions. We have a lot of questions. Where is God in the suffering? Why isn't he intervening? Why isn't he answering our prayers? And these are all really valid questions. And one very natural response is to say, is God really on our side? It's easy to believe that God is on our side when things go well, but when things don't go well, then doubt can creep in. And this is a big trap that's just lurking in front of us, and it always has done. I recently went to this Bible study and we looked at our passage from Genesis, so right at the beginning of God's story, where there was Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and they were there and God said, don't eat the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they did. And then they hid. Is God on their side? They were wrestling with that question. And then if you read the Bible, there's millions more examples of other people wrestling with the same question. I mean, we looked at Psalm 124 tonight, but if you just go back 100 Psalms, or 102, to Psalm 22, it starts, my God, why have you forsaken me? Is God on our side? But this is such an important question, and we need to wrestle with it, because where we land up on this has huge implications. So if we think about those examples at the beginning of how we know people are on our side, if people are not on our side, they're aiming for the other goal. They're arguing against us. They're not supporting us. So if we see God as not being on our side, there are huge implications because we're divided from him. We don't look to him for support. We go the opposite way and we aim towards the opposite goal. But we have to remember, in the Garden of Eden, that moment with Adam and Eve and God, there was someone else there as well. There's another character, and that was the serpent. And right from the start, he was trying to undermine this relationship between people and God. And the enemy's trying to undermine our relationship with God too, because if we believe that God isn't on our side, we turn away from him, we try and cope on our own. Life is hard. There's separation and there's division. So what do we do? How do we stop ourselves from not falling into that trap? We have all sorts of questions when difficult things happen, but I think there's one question that can really help us with this. Does God want separation from us? Does God want the separation and division that comes from not being on our side? And I think we don't have to ponder that question for very long before we get to an answer. Because if he did want separation from us, he's done a terrible job of it. If you read the New Testament and you see what he did, how much he loved us, how he came to earth to come and get us out of the pickle we'd got ourselves into, how he opened up the door so that we can be God with God forever. For all eternity. And there's this wonderful passage in Romans chapter 8 where Paul is thinking through the implications of what Jesus did, of what his death and resurrection means. And I'm going to read it to you. He says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." God's action has made it clear. He most definitely is on our side. He's so far on our side that he's made it possible for us to be close to him forever. No matter what, nothing can separate us from him. And if someone's on our side, they want the best for us, don't they? And God wants the best for us. And the best for us is to be with him, to be secure in him. And that verse from Nahum, it explains it too, doesn't it? So we have all these questions of life about why and why these things happen. But if God wasn't on our side, he wouldn't have made it possible for him to go through all of it with us. Every single moment, whether that's rejoicing or whether it's suffering, he's with us. And if we take this truth seriously, that God is on our side, I think it changes how we see everything. It starts to relieve the fear and the panic that we might experience. Dan spoke last week about how we need to fix our eyes on Jesus. And it reminded me of something that Simon Gilbo, the creator of Great Lakes Outreach, in one of his podcasts, he's got this little saying, which I think is really good. It says, "Look around and be distressed. Look within and be depressed. Look at Jesus and be at rest." And it's so true. In verse 7 of the psalm, there's this wonderful imagery. "We have escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare." Now, I wonder if you've ever had a bird trapped in your house. This happened to a friend of mine. It flew through her skylight into her room. And apparently it was awful. The bird was flying off the windows, bouncing on the doors. It was shrieking. It lost all control of its bodily functions. It was panic in the room. And all she could do was just hope that this bird would fly out the window. And it did. And once it did, it flew peacefully, calmly, happily. It experienced life and freedom again. And I think that's something that we can experience when we know that God is with us in everything. And of course, this prompts us to praise God, to be thankful for the fact that he is there with us. And this is a recurring theme at Holy Trinity recently. We've had a lot of sermons that have come back to praise and gratitude. And I really feel like God is trying to nudge us in this direction about how important praise and gratitude is, because it turns our eyes to God and it reminds us of who he is and what he's doing for us. And in verse 6 of the psalm, it says, "Praise be to the Lord." But as we finish, I want to leave us with a challenge to think about. God has shown us through Jesus that he is definitely on our side. So how can we show God that we are on his side? This might be something to think about and pray about during the week. But I wonder if one thing could be how we can join in with what God is doing. He's on our side. He's on the side of all the people for whom society is not on their side. And I wonder if that's something that we can do as we seek to try and become more like Jesus, to become more loving, whether we can draw alongside people and whether we can be the ones to be on their side. We're aiming towards the same goal as Jesus. We're speaking on the same side of the debate. We're speaking that language of love. And I wonder if that's something that we can do. We can be on the side of others. I mean, Jesus advocates for us with our Heavenly Father, and we can advocate for people too. So let's think and pray about that over the week. But right now, I think let's come back to that truth, that God is on our side. He is for us. He chose to remove all the separation so that we could be together with him. So let's pray.